The Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. Follow Cinema Anywhere Nashville on Instagram and book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience today. Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. Let's talk about Black history today. We do an awful job teaching Black history in our school systems. And if you live in a red state like I do, like the state of Tennessee, lawmakers have actually looked at Black history and said, how can we teach this even worse and then pass laws to make us teach it even worse? So let's talk about Black history today, because my guest is George McCallman, author and illustrator of the new book, Illustrated Black History. It is a super dope book that will probably never be admitted in schools, at least in schools here in states like Tennessee. But here's the good news. You can actually buy the book and teach this to your own kids. That way you don't have to rely on Governor Bill Lee or some other shit ass like him to teach your children Black history. And by the way, Bill Lee, if you're listening, which I'm 100% sure you're not. What the fuck are you really doing? But anyway, my guest today is George McCallman. Like I said, let's get into the podcast. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Polo Gini. Live.
Yeah. What's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
All right, episode 89 now of the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today, the author of the brand new book, Illustrated Black History, George McCallman. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I have the book and I flipped through it and just want to tell you how just aesthetically appealing it is from the cover. Artwork, just everything about it is really beautiful. It really
is. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So in this book, you've done original artwork. You did the book yourself.
Yes.
You've profiled 145 different people from Black history.
Yes.
Some of them have short bios. Some of them have essays. Tell us more about the book. Put it in your words better than mine.
Yeah. No, you did. You represented it really well. So I am the writer. I'm the author. I am the artist. And I'm also the designer of the book.
Wow.
And so that's the reason it took me 4 years to work on this, because it was a lot of work. I wanted, and there are also five different essays in the book that breaks up the alphabetical rendering. It goes by last name, so it's basically just a walk through 400 years of American history, and it's deliberately out of sequence. I wanted to profile the individuals more than the kind of historical tick mark of this happened that year and that happened that year. I wanted to make it a more organic and emotional experience.
I know you have 145 people in this. How do you get that? Why 145? Or how did you get to that number? Was it hard to get to that number? Was it easy to get to that number? A little bit of both.
It was easy to get to that number because I had my original list had 500 names on it. And then I had to winnow it down. My publisher was like, no, we cannot have a book of 500 titans of American history. So I had to winnow it down. And the process was really intuitive. And I just went with my feeling. I went with my gut around it. And it was what I wanted to do was basically find avatars representative of different strata, different vocations, different disciplines, different times in history, people from all over the country, people from the diaspora who were American, and really tell as much of a range of stories as possible while keeping it grounded and centered in our accomplishments.
I always ask authors this, and especially with a book like this where you had to go back and do research or whittle names down. Was there something that you learned about Black history in this that you didn't know that kind of blew your mind? Was there a person?
Honestly, all of it. all of it. You know, I learned this years ago, and a few of the people I've had in my consciousness for a while. You know, Cato Alexander was someone who I worked on a project with a client in Atlanta years ago, and they're the first people who told me about Cato Alexander and his basically creation and one of the originators of kind of bar and cocktail culture that we all take for granted right now. He's the person who invented the phrase cocktail and basically created, had this whole collection and had this bar and was one of the more successful people because of it. And his story is tragic because he his livelihood was destroyed and willingly destroyed as that is also a pattern that comes up repeatedly, mm-hmm. that Black success all throughout American history, white people have banded together to basically deconstruct our success. And so Cato is one of the people that I felt like it was really necessary to have him in there because, a lot of beverage and spirit people know of Cato Alexander the way they know of Nathan Nearis, Uncle Nearis, but it's not generally known to the general public. And so I wanted to let people know that we are a part, we are in everything. We are everything and we're everywhere.
I think I wasn't familiar with Cato. I'm in Nashville, so obviously very familiar with Uncle Nearest and their brands. Yes. Being here in Tennessee. We all know educationally, growing up in the school system, private, public, whatever, Black history is not something that is taught.
It is not their priority.
It is not taught in abundance. It's not taught in little, big,
not taught at all.
And in, states like I'm in Tennessee, they're trying to teach it now inaccurately.
They're trying the most in Tennessee right now.
Yeah. Tennessee, Florida, a couple more of them.
Tennessee and Florida are doing the most right now.
If you could pick one person out of the book that, we're not going to learn about in the public school or in the educational system, be it here in Tennessee or where you are, I believe you're in California, who would you pick to say, this is a person that everybody should absolutely know? I realize it's all of them, but,
it is.
There was one.
It is. But I'm looking to just pull out. Gosh, there's so many people. I would say Ida B. Wells.
Okay.
Is one of the, because, she's a journalist and a reporter, and the fight for truth right now is under America is doing the most to just erase truth.
Yes.
And she was someone who started newspapers. She was a tireless reporter and writer, that she was really one of the originators of our idea of social justice. Mm-hmm. And I just think that, she was the inspiration for a lot of what Hannah Nicole Jones did with the 1619 Project. And she has been a North Star for a lot of Black reporters and reporters of color. And I think that she belongs up there with all of the white figures of American history. She's a titan.
There's you have a perspective that's in these notes here on Black history, not being born in the US. And I saw that in the notes and I was like, I want to hear your perspective on that. So please.
Well, it's less a Black perspective outside of the U.S. It's more an immigrant. I'm an immigrant. And so, I was born in the Caribbean. My mother and I moved to New York when I was 8 years old. So I've spent most of my life being an American citizen. But I was born outside of the United States. And so the idea of the binary conversation about race that is so pervasive in the United States that any conversation about race is always reduced to Black people and white people. Mm. And that is not the real conversation. It is much more nuanced. It's much more complicated. It's binary because of how much violence has been all throughout history that Black people have been targeted by so much of white supremacy. And so it's just so much of what that has done to us and to our community, which is why the conversation is often rendered in that way. But, I come from a colonial country where Europe came in as they do and basically raised and, decimated and destroyed and then left. I'm from the island of Grenada. Grenada is still putting itself together, putting together the pieces of all the damage that the UK and France left when they left. And so it's a lot thornier. It's a lot more complicated. There's a lot of internal, you know, internal hatred that has been produced that everyday people are trying to we're trying to dig out of the sludge. And racism is that. It's just sludge. And it just kind of, you know, my perspective on this book is that there was a whole range of how to be Black. And I wanted to represent that range, the kind of people. There are a lot of Latin folks in this book. There's a lot of folks that fall outside of the spectrum of what might be considered, you know, representative of us. And I wanted to show the complexity.
I've had friends in the past tell me that have been also migrated to the U.S. that they didn't know they were Black until they got here. Was that your experience?
No, okay. That wasn't my experience at all. You know, I come from a very Black family that, that was never, but I think there are other countries in the Caribbean, like the Dominican Republic, a lot of Latin countries where saying you're Black is not the first thing that people mm-hmm. say. You know, it's just that it is certainly one of the considerations, but in the U.S. it's like you're Black first. Yeah. Whereas when I'm home, I'm George first.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. Is there's a pressure that being Black in this country has that everybody else really does not understand. When we walk around, we are seen as Black people first, and then we're seen as individuals, where everyone else gets to be an individual first.
One more question before I let you out of here. I know you got to jump. I always ask this, not just for the white listeners, but for myself as well. What is the first thing, the first step white people can make to, I don't like the term ally because I feel like some people puff out their chest and there's some ego attached to it.
Yes, yes.
But just to be better, I guess, is the yeah. way I should phrase that. Like,
I think it is just self-accountability. You know, mm-hmm. The main thing that I've heard from my white contemporaries, my white friends, is a sense of overwhelming, oh, we don't know where to start. And I'm always like, it's simple. It's you. it's not anyone else. It's just you. What are you doing in your daily life to perpetuate all the nonsense? Because 2020 showed a lot more white people are aware of what's going on mm-hmm. than society ever pressed them to acknowledge. And these are all the small ways that white people benefit from their inaction. They get to pretend that they don't know what's going on. They get to pretend that they don't know that there is a difference between how people are treated in an everyday way, and that they can actually participate in deconstructing that system.
You get to pretend that you always hear the term colorblind from
color. That's one yeah. of my favorite nonsensical phrases. Oh, I'm just colorblind. No, you're not.
Yeah.
No one
I don't
is.
See race.
I don't see race. Yeah. I was like, oh, children who don't know race see the difference in color. Yeah. You do too.
The book is Illustrated Black History. It is a beautiful book. I cannot wait to get back into it and read the stories and educate myself further. George McCallman, thank you so much
for coming on. It's a pleasure, Dolaway. Your name is amazing. I love it.
Thank you. I'd love to have you back on sometime and
absolutely.
We'll chat I'd longer. So good luck with the book.
And thank you so much.
We'll be here for part two.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Take it easy.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. You can book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience right now, starting at only $350. Cinema Anywhere Nashville provides your choice of a 16, 24, 36, or even 100-foot screen, plus projector setup and sound system. This is a super dope service that wouldn't just be great for corporate and work events, but also birthday and holiday parties, or if you want to have a romantic evening with your significant other, Cinema Anywhere Nashville is perfect for all of those things. They have the right experience for you. Follow them on Instagram right now at Cinema Anywhere Nashville and book your cinema experience today. All right, I want to say thank you once again to my guest, George McCallman. You can follow him on IG at McCallman Co. That's McCallman Co. And get his book. It's super dope. Illustrated Black History, available right now. While you're on Instagram, if you're going to follow George McCallman, follow me as well. If you're not already, at DoleWhite101, DoleWhite101. That's good for Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, I believe, too. All of them. Whatever you got, I got it, too. Well, no matter what platform you're listening to this podcast on, make sure that you subscribe, follow, whatever verbiage they use. Do that thing where you get notifications sent to your phone every time a new episode drops. Speaking of a new episode, brand new episode drops next Wednesday. Not sure who my guest is going to be. I'm recording a lot of these podcasts right now. Not sure who the next one's going to be, what the order's going to be. But I promise you this, it will be dope. It will deal with some real life shit. And it's going to be good, as it always is, I hope. Hope it's good for you. That's what she said. I'm out.